Good evening, everyone. Halloween's over, we changed to daylight saving time again, and we're able to sleep 1 hour more last weekend. The days are getting colder, but there's still one thing that stays the same. It's Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, and that's time for Jules on the Field, inside the world of our athletes. Your weekly sports talk here on radio.dominican.edu. As the seasons change right outside right now, so does our athletics schedule here at Dominican University too. The soccer season's already over. Our golf teams already finished their last tournaments last weekend too. On the contrary, the basketball season just began and there are still some teams which have some games left. Our Lady Dominican volleyball team, for example. But did you also sometimes wonder what all the other teams who have their season in spring semesters do all the time during this fall semester? This might be just something special for me as an exchange student, and I'm not really used to athletics in college either, but I really have been wondering about that. This is one of the reasons why Austin Franks is here with me today. He's a former member of our Dominican men's lacrosse players, and I really think it's fortunate for me personally to have him here with me in the studio of Penguin Radio today. The reason for that is that I have never actually seen a lacrosse game, simply because we don't have this sport at home in Germany at all. That's why I will not only ask him what it's like to be a Dominican athlete, like in all my other shows. I will also make sure that I understand a little more of this kind of sport after the show, and I will do my best to try. Actually, it's really interesting, but lacrosse seems to be a game which is really hard to describe if you're a non-professional. Once I've heard, it is supposed to be a mixture of basketball, soccer, and hockey. Well, for me personally, that makes the situation not very easier. But otherwise, from all I've seen from lacrosse so far, this definition is somehow understandable. I mean, they have goals and sticks which somehow remind me of soccer or hockey, if you ignore the pocket of the stick, of course, and the speed, which is characteristic for that game too. Some people even say it's the fastest sport in general. That is also something that I normally connect with hockey. Unfortunately, I will be back at home when the lacrosse season finally starts in the end of January and February, so I won't have the chance to really see our lacrosse players in action, and of course also the game itself. Another thing I've heard about lacrosse, especially girls tell me that by the way, is that you recognize lacrosse players immediately. Obviously, they seem to have a very special outward appearance and are often known to be more likely the little, stout players, rather short, with really short-cut hair and a muscular body. Well, not all of these features might match with all players, but to be honest, when I see some of our lacrosse players sitting together at lunch or dinner in the dining hall, this is sometimes really a true fact. But of course, there are some exceptions, as usual. For example, in our lacrosse team, there are some really tall and skinny players too. Maybe it is like in every other sport too. You like to have a mixed roster with all kinds of players because that simply makes your team more flexible and unpredictable for opponents. Of course, I was doing a little research before the show and now I pretend to know something about lacrosse, but actually it was really interesting. Even though I have the feeling that lacrosse doesn't really exist in Germany, it does, in fact. There are surprisingly, for me at least, 4 leagues back at home, a Western, Eastern, Southern and Northern one. A funny fact for me as an exchange student here at Dominican was also that lacrosse only came to Germany in 1993 when exchange students from America founded the first clubs in Berlin and Munich, simply to be able to continue doing their favorite sport. But before we actually get to the interview section with Austin Franks, and I will dive a little more into today's topic, lacrosse, I have some public service announcements for you. First of all, Campus Ministry would like to thank all of you who were part of the Trick or Treat for Canned Goods event in downtown San Rafael on Halloween. Over 1,117 pounds of food was donated to the Marin Food Bank, so thank you to all of you who participated. Up next week is a very special event that I'm happy to advertise a little. On Wednesday, November 13th, starting at 11:30 a.m., there will be a multicultural day here on campus of Dominican University. On that day, we will be celebrating diversity on our campus, and that means there are going to be tons of activities and events going on Calle Riga Plaza and in Angelico Hall. First of all, there will be a multicultural fair from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Calle Riga Plaza, where different countries and continents will show you what their culture is about and what it has to offer. There will also be a German table, by the way. Maybe you are currently searching for a place to go to while studying abroad. Well, then get a little inspiration at our international fair. Besides these international student booths, there will be music, multicultural performances, free snacks, and for all of you who are tired of classes on that day, there is also going to be a chill-out zone in the style of a Turkish cafe. But later on that day, the events during this upcoming international week will still go on. Co-hosted by the Black Student Union, there will be a so-called cultural explosion at 7 p.m. in Angelico Hall, including a student talent showcase. And so, you simply have to drop by and check out what our students here at Dominican are able to do. With all these international events going on campus, maybe you got interested in going abroad. What about studying in another country, exploring a new culture, and meeting new people from another part of the world? If you want to go abroad next fall semester 2014, you should begin the application process today. From my own experience, I can assure you, you will have some stuff to do and forms to fill in, but in the end, it will definitely pay off. Applications for fall 2014 are due on February the 1st, 2014, so the sooner you start, the better. You should definitely also email Julia Welsh at the Global Education Office, to set an appointment. It's Julia with G-I, Welsh at dominican.edu. And also like her office on Facebook to stay up to date with all their events and get useful information. And lastly, for all of you who, despite of midterms, tests and finals, need a brain boost, there will be a special 0.5 unit course for you. It's the Education Class 1002, in which you are paired up with a graduate student as an academic mentor. Private meetings in this academic mentoring program will be at times convenient for you. The 8-week program will start mid-February, so give it a thought. And if you have any questions, contact Lisa Hayden. Her email address is lisa.hayden@dominican.edu. So before we get to Austin Franks and his experiences in college lacrosse here at Dominican University, we'll take a first little music break. Normally, I always try to find a song that matches somehow with the sport we're talking about in the show, but actually I think there are no real lacrosse songs. The song I chose in the end is a song you all might know. It's Stronger by Kanye West. I decided to play this one because it expresses power, strength and motivation, and I think that's something you need in every sport. So enjoy, and we'll be right back.
Makes us all the better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me, can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man, cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now, that's how long I've been on ya.
Right,
let's
now
get lost tonight. You could be my Black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a f what they all say, right? Awesome to Kristen and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask this, I'm not sure. Do anybody make real s anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now, that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this place. So go ahead, go nuts, go ace. Especially in my pastel on my base. Act like you can't tell who made this. New gospel, homie, take six. And take this, haters.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
Me like it. I don't know if you got a man or not. If you made plans or not. If God put me in your plans or not.
I'm tripping, this drink got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's a thousand yous, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in the moment, right? Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'll do anything for a blind eye. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it like I never told ya. Don't act like I 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 told ya. Baby, you're making it better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. How long I've been on ya?
You're listening to Jules on the Field here on Penguin Radio. That was the first song of our today's show, Stronger by Kanye West. But now we're finally getting to the topic of today's show, lacrosse. So Austin, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, we talked about this earlier because obviously lacrosse is a sport that's a little hard to define, as I said earlier. So how would you explain this sport to a non-professional like me?
I'd say lacrosse is like a combination between hockey.
As you mentioned,
It's very similar to hockey, actually. Like, if you think about Canadians, their main sports are hockey and indoor lacrosse. And indoor lacrosse is very similar in the format. So I'd say hockey, a little bit of soccer, just because we're on our feet, you're running around, it's a big field.
And you have defense and offense and all these things, yes.
I'd say those main two, to be honest.
Okay, good.
I don't know about basketball.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Maybe it's the combinations.
Maybe it's the net.
Tactics, or
maybe because you're using your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar to hockey, most definitely.
Okay, good. Then I got it right somehow. So, well, during this fall semester, when I'm here, actually, we don't see our Dominican lacrosse team in action, unfortunately. So how do you spend the fall semesters then? What does the team do during the season?
So we don't actually have official, you know, NCAA games, but we are allowed to play other teams. So usually we do have a fall season. It's just not as intense as, say, the spring season. Spring season, you're 6 days a week, always working. You know, and it's very scheduled. And as far as the fall, still very scheduled, but it's only, you know, 3 to 4 days a week where it's mandatory.
Okay.
That's the biggest difference is you'll have mandatory practice. And then, you know, as in the spring, you'll have a lot of mandatory practices, you know, 6 days a week, like I said. And the other ones aren't, do you have like three mandatory maybe? And then the rest are like, you know, you should do these.
Okay.
And if it's a good team like we were, you know, you really have to work on those off days. But like I said, we had those games. They're more like scrimmages. You play local teams.
As you did on the family weekend, I think.
Yeah. So they played, I forget, I couldn't go to them. I had to work. But I know they played Cal, you know, University of Cal.
And the Marin team, I think.
Yeah, and so they play these club teams, which might be similar to back in Germany, were there older players? Because I'm not really sure what they're like in Germany. But here, they graduate from college, and they're top notch players. They're from the East Coast, where it's really big, from the bigger schools. And you know, they're kind of older, but but they're still good. And it gives us some good competition. And yeah.
So these games are simply not that official ones, but you still have a lot of things to practice.
Yeah. The fall season is just pretty big for us, just to, you know, get to, we have all these new players coming in, freshmen, working all that out and just getting a new system down, really getting that bond, you know.
Is it maybe because of that, especially even an advantage for the team to be able to get to know each other and not have those important games immediately?
Yes, very important for us to have that fall season where it doesn't matter if we win or lose is really the biggest thing. It's if we grow, you know. I think coach would rather see us lose in one of those games, so we, you know, would actually, but the teams around here, they're not nearly as good as the teams we play during the season, and that's why it's tough for us to keep up, especially when we go back east in the spring and play some of the top teams. You know, we don't see that kind of competition, you know.
Yeah, so you cannot really prepare for that somehow.
Yeah,
right.
It's the coaches, they try to do, you know, as much as they can.
I understand that. So when you have this fall season with no real professional games, I'd say, how do you keep your motivation level high in those semesters?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I guess one thing is team goals. You know, we try to have a certain goal that we want to achieve. That's implemented by the coach or implemented by the players. In the previous years, it was implemented by the coach. So he did focus on our grade point averages. So whether that was not attached to lacrosse, he wanted us to focus more on school when we could, you know, because he knew that in the spring that's going to be a little tougher. And as motivation level for, you know, lacrosse and working out, that was a big thing too. So a big thing is working on your body and getting strong and fast. And so you spend a lot of time doing that. And motivation, you have to dig within, you know, because you don't have the big games to think about. You don't have the only thing that I would say when I was playing is that I would just be working to keep my spot, maybe, you know. It's not as important, but I still want people to, you know.
I think you simply have to have this characteristic or feature too, that you are able to deal with this situation too, so that you simply are able to have the goal, I want a spot in the starting lineup maybe when the season finally starts, and then it's what you're
you want to prove your worth during that season. Yes.
Exactly. So is it hard to have those two extremely different semesters during a year? One that you have that is really hard to do with all those trips far away, mm-hmm. and this one which is kind of not that expensive.
They're two very different things. Fall semester is much more laid back, just in the sense that you have more time to focus on school. And so once the season, you know, the actual season in the spring comes, you kind of have to understand that, you know, it's going to be a little tougher, that it's going to be a grind. And there's not going to be as much time for hanging out with friends and, you know, and social events and, you know, there's not nearly as much time. I appreciated the fall, but I also love the game, and everyone does. And so you put in that amount of work and you put in those hours. It's just,
Is it hard to switch then from one semester to the other in kind of a flip of the moment?
Well, so for us, lacrosse, we come back during winter break, like the last week of winter break that everyone has, to relax. We come back a week early.
Okay.
And that week is usually two a days, so two practices a day, and it's before school, so it's kind of nice that all you're doing is playing lacrosse. But I mean, your two practices a day is a lot.
Yeah.
So that kind of gets you in the right mind state, you know, and right before that, you're training, you know, you're running. So the switch, it's kind of tough sometimes.
It's a prep, but
for me, I had my head on straight once, you know. Maybe it was the two days, maybe it was before that. I think it was the running before that, the conditioning that we have to do over winter break. you're not usually, unless you have a couple friends to do it with, you know, but I was from Washington and I usually didn't have a lot of people to run with. So it was myself and motivating myself, you know? So that was the switch that I needed to turn on to be able to do that. And then once I got back, it was like you're around a team and it was so much easier.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. Even though I didn't play lacrosse. So what do you think, you're still kind of into the lacrosse team, I think. So what do you think can we expect from our team in the upcoming season?
A lot of good things. Each year, they bring in a whole new crew of players, and they consistently get better and better and better. Because the kids that I've seen grow up, you know, just since I was a freshman, and now that, you know, I'm a senior, I'm not playing, but even last year, to see the freshmen that we had last year that are sophomores, they're amazing. Even the juniors that are this year, that they're fantastic. And it's really a sight to see.
And you're traveling huge distances. I heard Colorado and far away even. So how is it for the team to have those huge distances but also those great experiences to travel that far? I think no other team has this opportunity.
Yeah, we do have we go back east, and I don't think many teams go back east.
Yeah, I think you're the only one here.
Yeah, usually they have a trip to Hawaii, and they go to Arizona. But we usually go to, you know, we go a couple Midwest. We go Colorado. We went to Missouri once. And the back east is usually a week long, week and a half long trip that you really get to know some of your teammates, some of the guys that you don't really know. Sometimes you get paired up in a room with them, you know, and it's not as if it's just a different level of getting to know someone, obviously, when you're put in a room for
a
couple days. And you get to see a lot of different places. You do. It's a much different type of seeing these places, you know. It's not like we're going on vacation, we get to go look at all, you know. So it's a little different than that, but you get to see some pretty beautiful landscapes.
That sounds great. So what would you say did change during those last year when you weren't with the team anymore? Was there some kind of development during these days?
What do you mean? Between the team?
In the team when you weren't with them anymore.
See, I mean, I don't really know what changed, to be honest. But I know that there are a couple of players that, you know, they come up to me and they say, "We miss you," you know.
Oh, that's
you know, in both on the field and off. They miss me. I played defense, and you know, they'd come up to me and be like, "We miss you." Some of these young kids need a little guiding, you know. I miss it too. So sure. It's tough to hear it from some of them.
Yeah, I can imagine that. So after 3 years of lacrosse here at Dominican, you had to retire. You said that to me due to an injury. So what happened? How did this happen?
Yeah, I got my last major. Well, maybe not my. I wouldn't say last, but I got my fourth major concussion. And they say, I hear 4 to 6 concussions, major concussions, that you shouldn't play anymore. But the thing that was never really talked about, or that, you know, I slid under the rug every once in a while, is that I had a lot of mild concussions that would go undocumented. So the trainer would be told, not just here at Dominican, but also in high school.
Okay.
So the major ones were evident. You know, I didn't play afterwards for, you know, it started off as maybe like 2 weeks was the first one. So I had a 2 week break after my first concussion, and then the second major was a little longer, and then the third major was very serious.
Okay.
A couple months.
Whoa.
And the fourth major, and in the fourth major, I can still feel effects.
Okay. So did it happen during a game or in?
Yeah. So this past year, last spring, there were two games in particular, I'd say, that. The first one, it was a big game, very big game. An East Coast team had come here to play us on our home field, and it was a very big game. Everyone was excited, and we got smacked. But near the end of the game, obviously everyone was still fighting. There was still a chance for us to come back. You know, lacrosse is a game where things can happen
pretty
quick.
Fast, as we said.
Yes, yes. And I happened to get the ball. I took it down, and defender takes the ball down. Usually they give it up unless they have a chance to shoot. And so I gave it up to my attackman, and he, I was waiting to be subbed, you know, so usually they control the ball. And he lost possession, and the ball was near the goal. And, you know, why not? So I went in, and I couldn't tell you, but I got hit right in the side of the head. It was a helmet to helmet. And I remember, like, going for the ball, and then I got hit, and things went a little black. And I looked up, and I got up, and it wasn't like, I don't know. I didn't really know what happened. I mean, I knew that I got hit, and some penalty was called. So I walked off the field, and I found out I was bleeding here. I had a cut on my cheek and then a cut on my brow. And I saw the trainer. He told me, you know, he bandaged it up and said, you're going to have to go get stitches. But never once did they ask. Maybe they did, but they didn't really ask. They didn't do any tests if I had a concussion. They didn't do any of these things. And this game was right before we were going on our trip to back east.
Okay.
It was like right before. And I mean, I didn't really know if I had a concussion. It wasn't very apparent. If anything, it was a very mild one. And I didn't want to say anything. I wanted to go on this because I thought it was going to be my last trip. I wasn't sure if I was going to play my senior year. And so I was like, I'm going to go on this trip. So I didn't say anything. And then later down the line, we went on that spring break trip. Everything was fine. I played well. We came back. And then we went to Colorado shortly after. And we had our first game. And the Colorado trip was very important for our season. One of the games was our arch rivals, Mesa State. And if we beat them for the second time, the first time we beat them, you know, that was good. But if we beat them for the second time, it would reassure that we would be league champs.
Sure.
And the year before, we lost that game by a goal, which was, you know, I played in that game. I was a starter, and I put my heart out in that game. And to lose that game and to lose the league, you know, it was heartbreaking. So this year, a lot of motivation came from, I want to win that game. I want to be in that situation again and win that game. So that was the second game of the Colorado trip. So in the first game, we were playing another Colorado team, and they were pretty good. And it was just a simple play where they passed it near the goal, and as a defender, I was going towards them, and, you know, my job is to either take the ball away. And the way I took the ball away is I checked him with my stick, and then I followed through with my body. And I immediately, things went black, and then I just fell to my knees, and then I knew that something was wrong. I came to, and I knew that something was wrong, so I just went off. And then the trainer assessed me and said that, you know, you seem a little loopy, but I don't know you. And he's like, and he said his name, and then he left, and he came back, and he asked me what his name was. And I forgot his name, and he's like, well, maybe just bad with names. And he told me that I could go back in if I felt like I could. So I went back in just to see if, you know, how I felt, and I definitely fell off. So I came back out and sat the rest of the game. Then the trainer just said, you know, work with him. He's okay. He has a concussion, blah, blah, blah. But it was never definitive that I have a concussion. It was kind of weird, but on the bus ride, it was very apparent that I personally had a concussion. So we drove like 6 hours to our next game, you know, and it was right after the game, so we could get to our destination, hang out for a day, and then play Mesa. And on that drive, you know, of course, we were going to put on a movie and watch a movie. And I couldn't, it was like torture. They watched a war movie, and all the gunshots,
Oh my God, yeah.
And it was a really awful experience.
So was it in the end your personal decision to stop playing?
Well, so no, it wasn't. I mean, like I said, I had briefly mentioned that I wasn't sure if I was going to play the year after, which would have been this year. But now, I mean, it was kind of like the nail in the coffin where it was like, you're not going to play. But needless to say, it's that Mesa game, the game that we, you know, and I found out that I couldn't play. It was tough.
I can imagine that after three years.
Yeah, and it was over. It was kind of overwhelmed. I couldn't really grasp the situation. You know, having the concussion, you're very vulnerable and you can't grasp reality. So I just knew that like I was missing out on quite, and it went into overtime the game, and so I'm on the sideline watching the game, and I couldn't participate obviously, but mentally I had to stop participating because my head just hurt. So no, I was there, but physically and mentally I wasn't. I mean, like, yeah. You know, like but they won the game. Dominican won in double overtime. So like, while we were all very stoked, like it was kind of very bittersweet for me.
Yeah.
Just because
bad combination somehow.
And this was the moment that I had been looking forward to. This is the opportunity that I was looking forward to. This is the game I wanted to win, you know? And yeah, so it was tough to see the bright side of things. But I was really excited for my team, and I knew that I had put in work, and you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
So how did it feel for you simply to have to make this decision, okay, or to simply have to hear from someone you cannot play anymore during the next years?
It was really hard. The toughest thing was just to hear that I probably couldn't play for the rest of the season. And you know, and for me that probably meant, you know, my career, because I didn't know if I was going to play the next year. And then I realized that, you know, they told me that I shouldn't play anymore. You know, period. Which, like I said, it was tough to grasp it. You know, I didn't really get it. I did, but and I got a text from my coach to find out if I could play in the last game. You know, I was talking with him, and I was talking with the trainer, and he texted me and said, you know, I think you're done.
That's hard to hear.
Yeah, very simple text.
yeah.
But it hit home, it hit home, and it was one of the tougher moments, because I missed the rest of the season. Like I said, there was only like maybe three or four games left, but one of them was us clinching the division, clinching league. Like, so if we won that game, like no matter what, we would clinch the division. You know, mm-hmm. It'd be ours to win, even if we lost one after it. And that game, I could only go to part of it just because, like I said, mentally, they only want you doing so much. They only want so much brain activity. And so I only went to half of that game. In the second half, obviously, they won. But I remember seeing an Instagram post of them dumping the water on our coach. And then there's another one of all the team gathered together, and they're like, you know, they were the champs. And to not be a part of that was like, that was one of the most heartbreaking. That's when everything kind of sunk in, and I was like, oh my, you know, like.
Yeah, that sounds really tough.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, were you allowed to do any other sports, or how did you compensate with not having lacrosse anymore?
Yeah. So this year was a little, obviously very different. Not playing lacrosse, but I picked up club soccer just because I have loved the sport my entire life, and I played it in middle school, but I had to make a decision whether to play club lacrosse or club soccer.
Yeah.
And so I picked club lacrosse, and ever since I've just stuck with lacrosse. So I went back to soccer. I also picked up a job. That's how I fill my time is
Because sports take up a lot of time before that. Yeah, sure.
So I knew that I could pick a job and actually have an income over, you know, the school year, which I haven't had in the past. So it's been interesting, to say the least.
A really tough kind of contrast, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Very tough.
So thank you, Austin, for these first thoughts and impressions of lacrosse. We'll continue the interview and we'll get back to your beginnings in this sport after a quite long music break this time. You chose a really beautiful song in my eyes. It's Explosions in the Sky by The Birth and Death of the Day. And I can imagine this song to be somehow calming down before a game. So when did you listen to that song and why?
Yeah, no, exactly. It'd be pregame or maybe on the bus ride there. It's usually when I would listen to the song. It's kind of slow. It's acoustic. And it gets you going, to say the least. And yeah, it'd be on the bus ride. It'd be in the locker room. When you kind of, you're getting your head straight, you know? You start imagining the teams you're playing, the team you're playing. You try to imagine yourself on the field. That's one of the bigger things that, maybe not the bigger things that coach says, but it's one of the things that is implemented, is to really visualize yourself there. And this is something that, you know, that I would listen to, visualize myself, see myself playing. It'd get my blood pumping slowly, you know? Maybe when we go out to the...
We're back again in the studio of Penguin Radio. You're listening to Tools in the Field, and that was Explosions in the Sky by Birth and Death of the Day, the second song of my guest today, Austin Franks. So Austin, in the second part of today's show, I would like to know something about your beginnings in lacrosse. So while reading some of the articles on Dominican athletics and so on, I found out that you were already playing in a club team and also in high school. So when did you really start to do the sport?
I think it was sixth grade. Is when I started. And I was, my brother's friend had some extra gear, or he stopped playing, and he kind of gifted it to me. And they were starting a club team on the island. And so I played. And at first I had one of those really long sticks, you know, but they told me that I probably shouldn't have that. You know, it was a new club. They didn't really know the rules, to be honest. But eventually I got it back, and I played defender ever since. And it kind of, after sixth grade, I had to make a decision in, I think it was seventh grade, whether I was going to play, like I said previously, club lacrosse or club soccer. And I tried out for the club soccer team. I had made it. And I hadn't even tried out for the lacrosse team, but I wanted to play. I'd been playing soccer growing up, and I wanted to play lacrosse. I went to like a camp that summer for lacrosse, and I started to excel. And so I picked lacrosse, and the following year, two summers ahead, going into freshman year of high school, I tried out for this select team, and it was to either make, there's three teams I could have made. There's like the freshman team, you know, the freshman team. Then there was the, you know, JV team maybe, and the varsity team. And my goal was the JV team. And I went for the tryout, made it, you know, and I'm waiting. And I remember the day that my sister was like, "You got an email," and I checked it, and I had made the top team.
Oh, that's perfect.
And I was the only one that made it, and I was like, I was so, so excited. And that's one of the things is when I made that team in that season, playing with those guys, that's what made me so good, is that I'm playing with these older kids, and they taught me so much. You know, not just like verbally, like, you know, this is how you do it. It was just playing with them, understanding the pace of the game, understanding what to do, you know, in a certain situation. It really gave me the tools to be great throughout my lacrosse career, and a good foundation to build upon for my, you know, sophomore, junior, my high school career. So by the end of my high school career, somewhere near maybe senior year, Coach Webster, the coach for Dominican lacrosse, he had seen me, and he was interested. And there were a couple other schools that were looking at me, and there was a couple East Coast teams that had sent me letters, but I wasn't very interested in the East Coast. I went back a couple times, so I had made another select team. This is like, so from the smaller select team that I made, that I just told you about, there's a bigger select team that picks you, kind of. So if you're good, they'll pick you and put you on this like all-star team. And that all-star team goes back east and you play kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was quite an experience in itself. But I think that's where you get most of the recruiting done, you know, whether that's Webster seeing you or other recruiters. They see you during those tournaments when you go and play. That's how you get recognized as lacrosse. It's not in your school team, you know, as you think in high school. So college
football. After that, kind of.
Yes, think college football, college basketball, where you just probably play on that football team maybe. And that's where they might see you, and they might go scout you because you play for a good team. But lacrosse is a much smaller thing, or it's growing as we speak. But you kind of had to be on these other elite teams that go far places, and you know, to get recognized.
And, you could say when you were already here at Dominican in your freshman year, you had kind of a breakthrough in this Dominican team. I'd say you started 11 of 12 games in the first season, which doesn't happen that often, I think. And you were also named Dominican Freshman of the Year. So did you expect to have such a great start in college lacrosse?
I mean, my expectations were high, but I never, never did I imagine that. I feel like I was humble because I pride myself on my work ethic. And so I knew that if I worked hard and I knew, you know, inside and outside that it would pay off. And it did. Yeah.
That's good for everyone out there to hear. Yes, so yes. It pays off in the end, no matter how much you have to work. So going back to your beginnings, what made you really interested in lacrosse? What was the thing that fascinated you of the sport compared to others?
I think it was the comp. Well, and like I said, it was sixth grade, and it was my transition out of soccer, where or any little, you know, before sixth grade, it was baseball. For me, it was baseball, soccer, and basketball. You know, those were sport. We didn't have little league football or anything, maybe flag football. So this was the first sport where I could kind of hit someone. You know, and I think, I mean, the physicality is something that I kind of appreciated about it.
And maybe even when you're at the younger age, it's something that attracts you even more.
Yeah.
When a play is very physical.
And you have a stick and you can kind of hit people. I don't know. It was something different. Yeah.
So you kept on playing on a very high level throughout your college career. I just have to mention some other things. You were named Athlete of the Year, Most Outstanding Lacrosse Player once. So, and you've started almost every game. So what do such titles and awards actually mean for an athlete? Because you have a lot of them here, I'd say, and we don't have them back at home. So I just thought about that.
It's a good question. What's it mean to me? I mean, it just, like I said, it talks about my hard work. That's something that, you know, you don't get these awards in the beginning of the season, you know, or when you're training, in the fall season, or when you're just running alone in the winter, you know, like that was one of the bigger things, like you had to work on your own, and to be rewarded, with when I got MVP, that Most Outstanding Player of the Year, and that was for my team. That wasn't just, you know, defensively for my team. That was the whole team. You really feel your worth. You know, you really feel your value in that team and what people think of you and to know how appreciated you are, you know. Because throughout the season, it's not like we have 100,000 fans watching us, and it's not like I am the star, you know. And I played defense, and so I wasn't exactly that star that everyone, you know, saw shining. Like, oh, he scored 10 goals today, or, you know.
Yeah,
like,
it's not that obvious as in other games, I'd say.
Exactly. It's not very obvious. So to get these awards, it not only shows other people, but it really tells me, you know, my worth and yeah, respect. And
that's a good effect, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, well, Austin, thank you for sharing all those athlete stories with us here on Penguin Radio tonight. Before we get to our weekly Dominican athletic news and a lot of basketball events in the upcoming days, we'll take another quick music break and we'll listen to one of Austin's songs again. This time it's Forensic Shimmy by Wugasi. Austin, what sports memory comes to your mind when listening to this song?
This is just another development of my pregame. Like I said, this might have been the second one, where you'd start nodding your head and you start running around, and you know that you got to get a little wild.
Touch my skill. You gotta go to one killer bee, and he ain't for the kill now. Drop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement on the ground. For any MC and any bitch who states, I get psycho. Killer, Norman Bay. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, I think I did that. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. I
that he likes to roar, keeping the dirt down to the floor. See, my name is the ODB, and I'll beat your ass. For the ladies who know me, tell them who the fuck I be. For the niggas who know me, tell them who the fuck I be. For the ladies who know me, tell them who the fuck I be. For the niggas who know me, tell them who the fuck I be.
Welcome back to Jewels on the Field here on Penguin Radio. That was Austin Frank's third song for today's show, Forensic Shimmy by Wugazi. And now it's getting time for some Dominican athletic news for all of you who don't know what to do during the weekend, and for all others too, of course. As I told you earlier during this show, a lot of our Dominican Penguin teams have already finished their seasons by now. Other teams still have some work to do, and with the basketball season starting right now, there will still be a lot of athletic events here on campus. On Thursday, November 7th, for example, our women's volleyball team will play against Notre Dame de Namur here in Conlon Center at 6 p.m. They just returned from their road trip to Hawaii, as our soccer players did earlier during the past week, and this upcoming game will be the first of their last three home games of the season, so be sure to come to Conlon and cheer for our Lady Penguins volleyball players. Then, as I also have told you earlier, the basketball season is about to begin with the first home games here in Conlon Center on this very weekend. Before they take over the court themselves, they will host some games for the Academy of Arts, though. On Friday, November 8th, there will be the match between Academy of Arts University of San Francisco against Cal State East Bay at 5:30 p.m. in Conlon Center. A good opportunity for the team, but also for us fans, to see what our future opponents are able to do on the court. In addition, this game will be kind of a warm-up for the first home game of our Dominican men's basketball team. They will play Humboldt State here in Conlon Center on the same day at 7:30 p.m. So let's kick off the basketball home season this Friday together. Just one day later, it's our Lady Penguins' turn. The Dominican women's basketball team will play against Chico State on Saturday, November 9th at 2 p.m. in Conlon Center. If you've listened to one of my past shows when Carly Holbrook, one of the freshmen in our Lady Penguins team, was one of my guests, then this game day on Saturday is your first chance to see her and her teammates in action. Apart from the Midnight Mayhem, of course. Turning back to the men's basketball, Dominican is again hosting a game between Academy of Arts University and Humboldt State on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. So just stay at the court after the women's game and watch this one too. Actually, after that, you could also just remain seated. It's going to be a weekend full of basketball this week. On Saturday evening at 3:30 p.m., our Dominican men's basketball team will play against Cal State East Bay. With so many basketball events during the next days, I might have to remind you that there are other interesting events too. For example, there are the NCAA Division II West Regional Cross Country Championships in Spokane, Washington on Saturday too. Justin Valdez, one of our cross country athletes here at Dominican, will be the only Penguin athlete representing our school there. I will keep my fingers crossed for him also because he might be in my next show next week. And of course, it's always better to talk about great results. You can stay up to date with all athletics here at Dominican and all the away games, of course, on their homepage, dominicanathletics.com. Just before my next show on Wednesday next week, there will be another volleyball away game on Tuesday, November 12th at 7 p.m. against Fresno Pacific University. Austin, your team had two appearances during this semester. We also already talked about this. They have been two games against non-official teams here on Kennelly Field during the family weekend. So do you know of any other events when your team will take part in so that we can catch them before the season starts in January?
I don't think so.
That's sad.
Yeah, their fall season's over. It's pretty brief.
Okay.
You know, it's only a couple months, maybe a month where they're really just playing games. And then it's just mostly conditioning for them.
Well, in this case, we simply have to wait until the new season begins in the spring semester. And with this semester proceeding so extremely fast, at least for me, it will be a short wait. Just before this episode of Jewels on the Field is over already, I have some more public service announcements for you. Up first, there are two upcoming events in which you could help out as a volunteer. On November 16th, there will be an event that allows you to celebrate the holiday season and volunteer at the same time. The so-called Ugly Sweater Run. It's a 5K run which is Christmas-themed with holiday music throughout the course, inflatable Santas, hot chocolate and beer. It will arrive in the San Francisco area on Saturday, November 16th, and that's why the team needs still some cheerful volunteers to help making this event magical. To become a volunteer, you just need to visit their homepage, theuglysweaterrun.com/volunteers. Here you can also find out something more about the event. Besides that, there will be a local event here in San Rafael too. On Sunday, December 8th, there is the Jingle Bell Run or Walk in 4th Street in downtown San Rafael. You can work in multiple shifts from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. and they will need greeters, kids zone attendants, a cheering squad, registration helpers and so many more. You can sign up today already, and with so many students here in San Rafael, the jobs will be assigned soon, so take some notes now. For more information, simply contact Cecilia Haywood, 415-356-1230, excuse me, I repeat it, 415-356-1230, or visit their homepage jinglebellrun.quintera.org. All words start with capital letters in this case. After all these announcements and news, we'll take another quick music break. Austin's last song is, in my view, a perfect motivational song. It's Sail by Evil Nation. Justin, you also chose a special version, which was used as a pump-up song in college football. So what is the is that also the purpose of this song for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, it's really to finalize that final step before going onto the field, to really get you in the mood.
When my show's over in just some minutes, the last show on Wednesday evening is over, but there are a lot more interesting shows here on Penguin Radio. radio.dominican.edu. Tomorrow, for example, there are our DJ Chops and Ty with their show Sports Relative from 4 to 6 p.m. and Tinsel Talk by DJ Elsie from 7 until 9 p.m. Right afterwards, we have our show The Return of the Tailgate by Hornstein and Beal, also a lacrosse player, by the way, from 9 to 10 p.m. On Friday, DJ Oz will talk to you about all news and sports with you in his show Pro Track Central from 10 to 11 a.m. And after that, we have, of course, our Penguin Press Pass, Rule Students and Drill News at 12:30 p.m. Last but not least, DJ Noni will help you finding your voice on Friday at 2 p.m. and our DJ Raya will have a segment in this show. You see, we have a lot of variety here on Penguin Radio, so tune in again and check out our other shows too. I'll see you again next Wednesday at 6 p.m. as usual. And most likely, Justin Valdez, one member of our Dominican cross-country team, will be with me in the studio of Penguin Radio then. But for now, have a good evening and I'll see you next week when there's another episode of Jewels on the Field. No more.